Chapter 10. Intimidation. Tuesday afternoon to Wednesday morning. By Tuesday afternoon, Faltrick had called so many people at his New Orleans office that everyone there knew all about Mark Sway. Some of them told other people who told others, and that was how Maldano eventually heard about Mark. Worried, Maldano visited his old friend, Paul Gronke, and explained the situation to him. "I want you to convince the kid to keep quiet," Maldano said. "I'll fly to Memphis tonight," Gronke said. He understood what Maldano expected of him. Unable to sleep, Mark went to watch TV in the waiting room and finally fell asleep on the sofa. He woke up a few hours later at about 6 when a nurse came in and put the Memphis Press on the table. On the front page were his and Ricky's school photos and an article about the FBI's interest in Mark. The article even identified Reggie as his lawyer. Mark was shocked at how much the reporter had managed to discover about his life, and it both angered and frightened him. He left the waiting room and walked up and down the corridor nervously for several minutes, then went to the cafeteria. He drank a Coca-Cola and went to the elevator. He didn't see that a man had followed him into the empty elevator. It was Gronke. As the door closed, the man pushed Mark into a corner and held a knife to his throat. "If you repeat what Clifford told you, I'll kill you, your family, and your lawyer," the man said severely. "Do you understand me?" Terrified, Mark nodded his head as hard as he could. The man closed the knife and put it in his pocket. Just as the elevator stopped at the fourth floor, he walked out of the elevator as a nurse entered. "Are you okay?" the nurse asked Mark, who hadn't moved. "You look sick."
"I'm fine," Mark said quietly.
But he wasn't fine. He was terrified, and he desperately wanted to get outside and be alone somewhere. He suddenly thought about the roof. He got out of the elevator on the third floor, went to the stairs, and began to run up. His legs hurt, but he ignored the pain and kept on running. When he reached the roof, he sat down and breathed very fast for a long time. Finally, he felt calm enough to think about what to do next. When he heard the noise of the morning traffic below, he walked to Reggie's office.
"Can the FBI force me to talk?" Mark asked Reggie as he drank the hot chocolate that Clint had made for him.
"They could make you answer questions in court," Reggie said. "You'd have to tell the truth because it's illegal to lie in a court of law."
"But nobody would know if I lied," Mark said desperately.
Although it would be easier for Mark to lie, Reggie couldn't advise him to do so.
"It's not a good idea to lie, Mark," Reggie told him. "You might make a mistake in your story, and then everyone will know that you're lying."
Mark knew that all too well.
"But if I tell the truth, they'll kill me," he said, suddenly beginning to cry.
Reggie tried to console Mark. When he stopped crying, he told her what had happened in the elevator. Reggie was shocked. When Clint came in to tell her that Faltrick, Truman and Fink had arrived for the 10 o'clock meeting, she said, "Tell them there's nothing to discuss." Then turning to Mark, she said, "I'll ask the hospital to put security guards near Ricky's room."
"Don't tell anyone what happened in the elevator," Mark said.
"I won't," promised Reggie. "I'll say that I'm worried about your family's safety because of today's newspaper article."
"I don't want my mum to know either," said Mark. "She's got enough to worry about."
Reggie agreed, admiring Mark's courage and maturity. Later, at the FBI office, Foltrick, Truman and Fink were informed that Gronke still hadn't been found. FBI agents in New Orleans had reported his departure for Memphis, and the local agents who were following him had soon lost track of him. "Your agents must find Gronke soon," Foltrick said severely to Truman. "If he hurts Mark, we won't ever get the information we need. Make sure there are agents around the hospital. Gronke will definitely go there, and Mark needs protection."